people who care for the people you love. Hi, everyone. I'm Kathy Poholsky. Welcome to The Art of Aging, a 20-minute podcast to encourage independence and peace of mind by informing, educating, and celebrating you. A conversation with Blake Thomas in just 30 seconds. First, your AOA tip of the day. The next time you're visiting with an older adult, think about the words face to face. Then do what you can to make that happen. For example, if he or she is sitting in a wheelchair, pull up your own chair or even kneel. That way, you're on their level, looking directly at them. This can be a reassuring sign that you are listening and want to be in that moment with them. It can also help you know whether they understand what you're saying. Now back to our topic, home care. Joining me to talk more about it is Blake Thomas. Blake is the Business Development Coordinator for CCA. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me and welcome.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, Blake, we're going to start with what does CCA stand for?
Well, as many may or may not know, we used to go by Care Consultants for the Aging, but we have converted it to CCA Home Care, which stands for Caring, Compassion, and Accountability.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. Now, this company you alluded to has quite a history, Care Consultants for the Aging. Tell us about it.
It does. So we have been around since 1991, and this company is locally owned and managed. And it was started by a lady, Roseanne, and her friend Virginia in 91, because there was a need for Roseanne's mother, who had dementia and was going from community to community because she just wasn't a right fit. She needed more one-on-one care. And so they had started the book, the Elder Care Resource Handbook, which we'll talk about later, but soon found out that there was a need for home care caregivers through this process. So they had a need, which is still a need among many people now, for private duty home care. And that can be in a community setting, or it can be in a community residential home or in someone's house. And so in 1998, we opened it up to the Lincoln Market. And then in 2005, I believe, is when Michaela, who's still in the Lincoln Market, purchased it. And then in 2017 is when Kyle Johnson purchased it. And he is still the owner.
Okay. Now, home care. We hear those words quite a bit. Let's drill down a little bit. What do they actually mean? Paint a picture of home care for us.
Sure. So home care and home health are two different verbiages used in our industry. So your home health is your typical PT, OT, speech therapy component that somebody's Medicare will pay for a period of time. Home care is private duty in which you'll have a companion or a CNA come into your home and provide things like bathing, dressing, incontinence care, help with meals, help with housekeeping. And this can be paid for privately by your long-term care policy. Some companies take Medicaid, some take VA. And I actually met with a gentleman yesterday that Medicare is starting to pay for a portion, which I say a portion, maybe 7 days a year for home care, but it depends on the policy you have. So you need to ask. And so with that being said, we work with a lot of hospice, a lot of home health, and coming in between the times that they're visiting to assist the elderly with, it may be medication administration, it may be we're transporting them to doctor's appointments. But what's different between home care and home health is just that. It's what the components are that we'll be providing.
Here's the million-dollar question. When does a person know that home care would be a good thing for them to consider?
So that is a great question. It's different for everybody. And so it may be where a spouse is the main caregiver and they just need some respite, so a short-term break, or they're ill and they just need a little more assistance, or they're coming home after a rehab stay or a hospital stay and they're continuing with therapy and they just need a little more assistance with bathing or dressing. But it's just that you need to know that you need a little more of assistance, or it's you can no longer manage your medications and you need somebody to come in and set those up. So in order to stay safe in your home, that's probably the moment that you should be calling us to ask questions like, how often do you need us to come in? What things do you feel like you need some extra support in? And we can really cater those visits to that person.
What is your role with CCA?
So I am the business development coordinator for Omaha and Lincoln. And then I also publish the Elder Care Resource Handbook, which is a free resource out in the community. And I just make sure that people are educated on our services and that we're support for whoever needs us.
Okay, one of the questions that I ask people, especially in this industry, is how did you get involved in the older adult realm? What was your first experience and why do you continue to do what you do?
So I got into senior living about 20 years ago. And my grandfather, who was a physician, became ill, and we ended up moving in with him and becoming his caregivers. And we also had nurses that came in and tended to his needs as home care does. And also my grandmother on my other side fell ill with Alzheimer's. And so I was around her as a teenager and had those interactions as she declined. My dad moved in with her to be her caregiver. And so that's really how I ended up in the industry, an industry I really never knew was out there. And it's a great fit for me. I love them. I love all the elderly people.
What do you find most rewarding about this work?
Bringing life back to them when they have no control. Being a support for them. We run into a lot of people who don't have family or they live out of town. And they look forward to our visit. You know, we may do things just as simple as putting a puzzle together with them. And that's the social interaction that they have for that day. So it's so important to them. And you can tell.
Yeah, I want you to talk about the value of that, if you would, because I think, you know, when you say something as simple as, it might seem that way to those of us on the outside looking in, but those are incredibly special moments for people, not just because they're feeling purpose and putting the puzzle together, but because they have somebody there with them. I mean,
the social aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The value of that. Talk about the value of that social aspect.
I mean, I think we can really pair it to going through the pandemic, right? We were all isolated and we couldn't access anybody outside of our home. And some of us may live with people, but a lot of the elderly did not. And so it really became, we've seen a lot of depression because they weren't able to have that simple interaction or a meal with somebody else. So you see depression from that. You see a health decline from it. They're not managing their meds right. It was too hot. They don't have food in their house. And it's just that simple interaction that fills our bucket day to day out in the field that also still fills their bucket. And I just don't, it's a feeling, right? You just get those prickly feelings throughout your body when you hold somebody's hand, you have that physical touch, they need hugs. And I hope that answers your question. It's being fulfilled, it's filling their bucket every day, just that one interaction.
And those people doing that are very special people, caregivers, right? So lots of home care agencies out there doing some really great stuff. But there is something a bit different about CCA in terms of the organization's caregivers. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so CCA Home Care was started as a registry, and it still is. And a registry model is very different than your typical agency model. And that all of the CNAs and MedAids that work on the registry are contracted with us. So they work for themselves or they work directly for the clients that we find them, which gives our clients all of the control, right? So they can dictate who they want coming into their home, what they want them to wear, what they're going to pay them. Is it going to be a male? Is it going to be a female? And they really get to connect with those caregivers that we can find for them, right? So some similarities are that all of the CNAs or MedAids that are on the registry have a background check. They're all licensed, they're all insured, and we bond them up to $50,000. So they're absolutely covered as if you would go with an agency model, but it gives our clients way more flexibility. Also, it allows us to provide a much higher capability list to the clients. So as they age in place, we're able to actually administer meds, right? So no other home care company is going to do that. They're just really, they're not allowed to per their state regulations. But we have MedAids that have been trained to do so. And so we can send them in to administer medications. And sometimes that's the one thing that they can't do anymore. And it might be the one thing that dictates them having to move into a senior living community when they just want to stay home. So that's huge. People coming out of rehab that may need a feeding tube, we can do feeding tubes. Maybe they're on a diabetic diet or pureed diets and they need meal prep. We can do that too. So we have a huge CNA task sheet on our website at ccahomecare.com, which allows people to really look at it and be like, oh, I could really use you for housekeeping and laundry, but I'd love for you to meal prep and set up my meds. And we really can just cater it to that client. So you and I could have CCA home care, but you have them for a different shift and you have them doing different things around your home than I do. And then also the other thing with the registry model is that we don't have all the overhead cost. So we put that savings back to allowing the clients to only pay $23.50 to $28.50 an hour, which is about a $10 a difference an hour than most agencies charge.
Okay.
So I hope that answers your question.
Oh, it does. And I do want to ask too, because the whole idea of home care is new to the individual and to the families when they're going to go ahead and move forward with it. And there might be some families listening today who are saying, I kind of like this idea, but I'm not going to be there when the caregiver is. How do you communicate to the families? How does that caregiver effectively let those family members know, this is what we did today? Yeah. And then that way they can kind of move forward together on the same page.
And so that looks different for every family, right? So we have a client care coordinator, Audrey Pekka, and she will actually do an in-person visit with the family to really do that discovery and find out, what are your expectations? How would you like us to communicate with you? Would you like us to leave a journal in the home so we can write things out? So you can read it. Should the caregiver take a picture of that and text it to you every day? Would you like me to check in weekly, monthly? What does that look like to each family? And she does cater to those needs. So it really looks different to everybody because not everybody has family locally.
Okay. Another question. If somebody has home care and they have it maybe, you know, two or three times a week, and let's say the person that you have connected this family with is ill, or, you know, just is unable to make it, car trouble, whatever the case may be. Talk about the process involved with that when the Smith family is expecting someone at 8 a.m. and that person is, like I say, having some challenges. What's the process involved in making sure that there would be an individual with their loved one?
That's a great question. And that's something that our client care coordinator has with the family from the get-go, because we're all human and things happen. And so we always try to put a plan B in place in the event that something like that happens. But we also like to have a team in place for each client. And so what that looks like is if someone gets sick, someone has car trouble, we really want to have a backup that's able to jump into place in the event that those things happen. Does it always happen seamless? We'll always be transparent with you and tell you no, but we really want it to. So sometimes we want to have a list of like family members or neighbors or somebody that can be called on in the event that that person's not safe being home by themselves. Sometimes they're fine, but we'll definitely be communicating that back to the family immediately.
Wonderful. Blake, what haven't I asked before we go on to the Elder Care Resource Handbook? And you've mentioned it, but I want to go into that a little bit more. What haven't I asked about CCA and what it is that you're doing, or even home care in general that maybe you get asked quite a bit by families that you could address at this point, or maybe we've covered most of the basics?
I think, I talk to a lot of individuals, doctors, social workers, and, you know, always, I think it's huge to ask the right questions. So as you guys are, interviewing different companies, don't limit it to just one. Interview two or three and make sure you find the right fit for your family. I feel like we're a fit for a lot of people, but sometimes we can't start right away, or sometimes people don't like the registry model. But I think just asking the right questions to make sure it's a good fit, make sure that the company is upfront about, are they going to be able to show up every visit? And what's their backup plan? Make sure you're asking the questions of, as my mom or my dad age in place, are you able to administer meds? Are you able to provide Hoyer lift assistance? Just things that you need to prepare for the future, even if you're just using them as needed right now. It's just good questions to ask to make sure you have a right fit. And ask about background checks, licensures, insurance, things like that that are important to you. And also have a nice written up list of things and expectations you have as the caregivers are coming into your home, as well as things that your loved one likes to do or things that they prefer and things that they don't like. And also think about, if they're immobile, how is the caregiver going to get into your home without handing out security codes and handing out a key and things of that nature that we run across?
Okay, very, very good. All right, now you mentioned this earlier. You're a very busy person, by the way, Blake, as I'm listening to you today. You also handle the Elder Care Resource Handbook. So broad strokes, what is that? And it's not just a physical book. You can find it on your website. So tell us about that.
Sure. So we do an Omaha Elder Care Resource Handbook and a Lincoln version. This has been around since 1991 as well. It is considered the Bible of resources among the professionals in the elder care world. And it starts with your financial and power of attorney information and what questions you should be asking and contacts that you can access, all the way through home care, home health, wound care, living options, all the way through hospice and end-of-life services, and then what I like to call the junk drawer of different services that are out there that people don't know exist. Mm-hmm. Where Kathy, in our world, we know all these people, right? So this is all of our knowledge into a book. And it has questions you should be asking when you're signing up for Medicare. It has questions about Medicaid. It has questions about, as you're touring independent living, assisted living, memory care, what things should you be asking as you're out there navigating this world that so many people don't even know where to start? And you can go to omahahandbook.com or lincolnhandbook.com to get your copy, and it comes out yearly, and it is a free resource.
Perfect. I'd like to thank Blake for joining us. Adaptive Advice for the use of their space, my husband Mike for making us sound so good, and of course to all of you for listening to The Art of Aging, a podcast to encourage independence and peace of mind by informing, educating, and celebrating you. I'm Kathy Poholski, inviting you to join us again as we'll be posting new segments every 2 weeks. Till then, may you find meaning in each and every moment, hence discovering what I believe to be the true art of aging.